Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. This year's election was unprecedented in the way people voted and in how long anxious voters have had to wait for election results. Wisconsin went blue for Vice President Joe Biden by a narrow margin. But before the call was even made, President Donald Trump's campaign requested a recount of the votes cast. There has also been a lot of litigation leading up to the election in Wisconsin and across the country in an attempt to define deadlines for receiving and counting ballots. Additionally, Trump claimed victory on election night while millions of votes were still being counted. He has also sued to stop the counting of legitimate votes in key battleground states. Justin Levitt is an election law professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles, California. He spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about the litigation and what challenges could reasonably hold up in court.
What are your thoughts on President Trump calling for a stop to counting legitimate votes?
It's a fantasy and absurd. He's not in control of this process, and that's not the way the process works. So it's important for everybody to know that President Trump's wish list is not driving the train here. We have said from the very beginning that it's going to be really, it's going to take a minute to count all of the votes that have been cast this year. That's particularly true in states like Wisconsin, where the people who are counting the votes in small towns all over the state couldn't start counting any of the ballots received by mail until Election Day. And mail ballots take a little bit longer to count. There were a lot more of them this year than usual, and that all adds up to needing a couple days to get to the count. But that is a count of entirely legitimate ballots. We have never, ever in the history of the country, had a full count on election night. The media may project winners. It may become fairly clear who's likely to win. But we've always taken the time to make a list and check it twice and to count all of the valid ballots, to dot I's and cross T's. And that's true again this year. The deadlines for certification are usually somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks after Election Day for the formal count. And there's absolutely no way to stop the count before that happens. There's no legal claim that makes it magically appear. And there's nothing that Donald Trump can do to bring his fantasy to life.
I think it's important to note, as you said, that it is normal to not have these official results on the day after election, the night of election. That's just not something we ever had.
That's correct. It's also true, by the way, that military ballots have come in after Election Day for some 150 years. And so for the president to stand up and say we need to stop the count is necessarily going to disenfranchise a lot of entirely legitimate military ballots still arriving from overseas. I don't think he really means it. I think he's trying to delegitimize the election results, in part because he doesn't like the election results. But the good news is that local officials in Wisconsin are working hard, as they have been working hard, to deliver a count of the valid ballots that have been cast. And that's what all of the rest of us can expect.
Trump also suggested that if Biden does get a surge of votes in his favor today as ballots continue to be counted, that it would be evidence of Democrats trying to steal the election. What are your thoughts on his unsubstantiated claim?
They're grotesquely irresponsible. There have been no allegations whatsoever of any widespread impropriety. As in every election, there have been a few glitches and a few hiccups, but nothing whatsoever to indicate that there's been fraud or an attempt to steal the election. In fact, by trying to declare the count over before it's stopped, that's far more of a threat to the election process than anything that Donald Trump is waving his arms about in the nature of fraud. Just screaming in all caps doesn't actually make something true. And I think what we're hearing, unfortunately, is not the first time that the president's rhetoric has not matched reality. There's absolutely no reason to believe that there were any wide-scale improprieties. In fact, the American public were worried, I think, about a lot more irregularities, a lot more disruption, a lot more stuff that might happen than actually happened on Election Day. Election Day in the vast majority of the country was pretty smooth, and that makes it even less substantiated. It means there's even less reason for these false and really dangerous accusations that something's inherently wrong with the process.
I think for some people, the smoothness of early voting and mail-in voting has even changed some perceptions, perhaps, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes moving forward. But continuing on the vein of claims that have been made, Trump claimed victory late Tuesday night while several states were still counting votes, and the way the count looked at that time looks different than where it stands now, of course, and things are still developing. But does Trump stand on any legal ground by just declaring victory?
No. It turns out that declaring victory for the president has as much legal meaning as my declaring victory, your declaring victory, anybody else standing up and declaring victory. That's not a thing. The people who declare victory are town by town, local officials counting the ballots and seeing how they add up, and then a statewide tally that's just an adding exercise. So that's how we declare victory. Media calls or projections aren't victory, and the president saying that he won doesn't make it so. It's a little bit of wish fulfillment, but that's part of the reason why we actually wait for all the votes to be counted before anybody decides who's won the race. The president's remarks last night are a little bit like declaring that the Tampa Bay Rays won Game 6 of the World Series after the first inning. You can say it all you like, but that doesn't make it so. And saying we should stop the game now after the first inning doesn't mean the umpires are going to be any more likely to actually stop the game.
And there's been a lot of litigation leading up to this election when it comes to when to count votes and when ballots can arrive across the country. Can you talk about what was argued in Wisconsin and the outcome of those lawsuits?
Sure. And actually, a lot of those lawsuits are part of why there's less reason to worry about disruption and litigation now. We had over 325 lawsuits across the country. In Wisconsin, yes, but also in 44 other states and DC and Puerto Rico, about the rules of the election. And that's only related to the pandemic. That's not counting fights over felony disenfranchisement or Kanye or anything else that might have made the news. That's a lot of litigation about a lot of topics, including things like, yes, when ballots can arrive, what you do when there are errors, all of the things that we might now be fighting over, maybe, actually got resolved by the courts weeks or months ago. So a lot of courts have had the opportunity to weigh in. In Wisconsin, that's also meant the federal courts of appeals and even the Supreme Court. And they've sort of settled the rules for this coming election, for the election that we're having now, that we're counting the ballots of. It has meant in Wisconsin a little bit of back and forth over exactly what the rules are or were or will be in the days leading up to the election. But the rules are pretty much set now, and that's a good thing. It means there's a lot less uncertainty about whether ballots cast at certain points will count. I don't always agree with the results of these lawsuits. I don't always agree with the way that the courts have come out. But the courts have ruled, and that means a lot less uncertainty now. In Wisconsin in particular, with respect to one of the big issues litigated was the deadline. And the courts went back and forth and back and forth for a little bit, but the final call was that mail ballots had to be received by Election Day. And that's what the people in Wisconsin, that's what the clerks will be counting. So that's where the status is. There's not really a there's plenty of dispute. People will armchair quarterback over whether those decisions were correct or not. But those are the rules for this election, period.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like the rules as far as when ballots can be counted, when they have to be when they have to arrive for Wisconsin differed from rulings that the Supreme Court made for Pennsylvania and other states. It did seem to differ a little bit state to state, which is, at least to me, surprising when it comes from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and that's in part sort of a convoluted legal posture. Cases were in a different position going up to the Supreme Court in various places. In cases like the ones arising out of Pennsylvania or North Carolina, those came out of the state court system. And in fact, in some of them in North Carolina, there was an agreement between litigating parties in the state saying, okay, here's what the rules will be. And the court decided not to touch those. So when state courts decided, when states decided what state law was, the Supreme Court said, we're not going to get involved. In Wisconsin, the main piece of litigation, there was lots of it, but the main piece of litigation actually came out of the federal courts. And the federal courts of appeal said, you can't change the rules this late. And the Supreme Court let that sit. So a little bit of the difference has to do with how the cases got to the Supreme Court. But really, for purposes now, you know, Americans are used to having different states with different election rules. A lot of the states had different deadlines before any of the courts got involved. Some states said you can postmark a ballot by election day and have it come in afterward. There are still ballots arriving in states like that that will count under the rules in place in that state. That's not Wisconsin. I think a lot of people, you mentioned, people had sort of a smoother experience with mail voting and earlier voting than they might have expected this time around. Those changes might stick, and the people of Wisconsin might well agitate for further changes, including changes to things like the deadline. So if people in Wisconsin are frustrated by the fact that they wanted to be able to send in their ballot on election day and have it counted if it arrived a couple days afterward, they can change that. Just need to get the legislature to change the law. And that's something I think a lot of states will be looking to legal changes they might want, preserving some of the things that happened this year and adding others once the new legislatures are in session.
It'll definitely be interesting to see how our election process changes after this year. So where do things stand in other states with outstanding litigation now, and how do you think that might impact the election results?
I don't think the litigation's going to impact the election results, at least not based on what we know now. There are still some cases being fought over and fights continuing over the last couple days, Election Day and beyond, over relatively minor issues in Pennsylvania, a relatively minor issue in Minnesota. I don't actually think any of them will end up affecting more than a few thousand ballots one way or another. And I don't think that the margins are going to end up close enough. Again, we don't know just yet, but I don't think the margins are going to end up close enough that any of that litigation is going to matter. The president has been claiming, of course, more litigation, going straight to the Supreme Court, asking them to do stuff. But doing stuff isn't how the courts work. That's not how it happens. And I don't actually think I've heard of any allegation of an actual violation of law, a statutory or constitutional conflict, that's going to go to the courts in a way that's going to change the results of the election. A lawsuit without provable facts of a statutory or constitutional violation is just a tweet with a filing fee. And so I think you can expect to see a lot more litigation and a lot more cases, but I don't know that they're going to matter.
Without even knowing the results of the election yet, Trump is threatening to take challenging the results to the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, but it's unclear what legal basis he would have. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it turns out that all caps exclamation points, fraud, stop it, is not a legal thing. And we'll probably get tossed out of court just as a bunch of cases sort of wildly gesticulating and asking for crazy relief have gotten tossed out of the courts in the last couple days. The courts this cycle, sometimes I've agreed with them, sometimes I've vigorously disagreed with them. I can't say that I've loved everything they've done, but consistently they've acted like courts. Judges have acted like judges. They've not settled for sort of wild internet claims. They've not accepted wild tweets as the basis for legal action. They've said, if you got a problem, tell me what statute, tell me what constitutional provision that violates, show me the facts, and then I'll see whether I agree with you. We've seen a bunch of cases brought, many brought by the Trump campaign or by the Republican Party, a few brought by other actors on the progressive or Democratic side, where they've really just been sort of loud shaking of fist claims, and the courts have said, go away, I'm not interested. And that's pretty much what the courts are likely to say to Donald Trump's crazy hypothetical that he gets to walk into the Supreme Court and just ask five justices to nominate him, to declare him president. That's not how it works.
As you continue to watch the results come in or just the reaction unfold, is there anything that you're paying particular close attention to, or you think it's important for people to understand about this legal process and how this all could play out?
Yeah, I'm paying attention to us. So really, the weakest link in this whole process is our ability to be patient. We really like immediate results. We like immediate gratification. We want to know instantly who won. And clicking refresh or doom scrolling is something that we've all gotten used to. But it's not particularly healthy, and it's not particularly productive. The way the process works in now, we're not even, some people have said sort of we're in the litigation phase. We're not. We're in the counting phase. The ballots are in. We just have to see what they say. We've got to sort the ones that are eligible from the ones that are ineligible. We've got to add them up. We're getting results now. That's a good thing. We've got to give it enough time that we wait for the results. And I think once we do, actually, those results are going to be pretty clear. There's only been one other presidential election in our history that the Supreme Court has decided, that the courts have decided, that's been dispositive. And we're all focused on that, in part because it's a black swan event and people pay attention to those, in part because the president keeps raising the specter. He keeps saying he's going to the Supreme Court. But unless a final tally in a tipping point state, Wisconsin could be that, but I think it's unlikely. Unless a final tally is 537 votes close, as it was in Florida in 2000, the voters are going to decide this election, not the courts. Put it differently, what we're waiting for now is the count, not the court. And that's the most important thing for people to know. Relax, be patient, go watch a movie, go rent a movie, do something with your time other than listening to the noise and the bluster, and let the people whose job it is to count the ballots, count the ballots.
Justin Levitt is an election law professor at the Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. He spoke with Lykvex Becca Schimmel about the legal questions surrounding this year's election.